Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the panel, Mr King and I make these joint submissions on behalf of both Eileen Shearer and Adrian Child. The task set for COPCA by the Nolan Commission from a standing start was to overcome several millennia of history, requiring institutions who are often unconnected and sometimes unknown to each other, albeit under one umbrella of the Roman Catholic Church, to work together to fulfil a common aim, to surrender their individual autonomies to external secular agencies, to look for secular bodies for support and guidance as opposed to their religious leaders, to expend significant sums of church funds in doing so, to grapple with unwieldy structures with different systems of governance which were culturally and geographically disparate, to expect such ancient institutions to develop organisational structures commonplace in modern secular society but foreign to them, all based on the hope that goodwill would carry the day, without any procedure by which that was to be achieved or any real practical guidance. Eileen Shearer and COPCA. The size of her task and that of COPCA should not be underestimated. She had to set up her own physical working space, ensure compliance with internal regulations and procedures, including data protection and client confidentiality policies, negotiate appropriate salaries commensurate with properly skilled staff, interview and hire such staff. She had to begin to tackle the job she was employed to do. Her first act was to recognise the need for organisational structures to ensure accountability and to draft job descriptions so everyone was aware where responsibility lay. She drafted child protection policies, publicised the work and aims of COPCA, reached out to religious organisations in the hope of engaging hearts and minds. She held conferences, offered advice and assistance, and even visited every single bishop in the hope of reassuring them of the role and aims of COPCA, a role they had voluntarily accepted in principle, if not in practice. When she gave evidence, we suggest she was the consummate professional, dynamic, committed and knowledgeable, and her sincerity to achieve the Nolan objectives shone through. In the evidence before the inquiry, there was almost universal praise for the work of COPCA or CSAS. The one criticism made of her was by Mr. Molesworth for a perceived failure to report. His criticism was misplaced. It was based on a factual error and unfair. It was no part of COPCA's role to report to statutory authorities. Cumberledge. The Cumberledge Commission acknowledged the significant progress made by COPCA. However, they wanted to increase their independence, and that was the main reason for the progression from COPCA to CSAS. Unfortunately, the practical effect of the changes made by Cumberledge achieved the opposite of what was intended. It made CSAS less independent, which seriously undermined its effectiveness. Moving it to the same physical premises as the Bishop's Conference fueled the perception that it was a wing of the church and not an independent body. That damaged trust with victims. Adrian Child and CSAS. In July 2008, Adrian Child became the first director of CSAS and continued in that role until the spring of 2015 and has had no involvement with CSAS since the summer of that year. The role followed on from his role of director of COPCA following Alan Shearer's resignation in 2007. We submit that it was clear from his evidence that Adrian Child too possessed the determination and sincerity displayed by his former colleague and had the professionalism, courage and experience to drive forward his vision for the future as envisaged by Cumberledge. As with COPCA, the role of CSAS was an advisory one. Neither COPCA nor CSAS were responsible for individual safeguarding cases. Like COPCA, CSAS had no role in reporting to statutory authorities. That was generally the role of the safeguarding coordinator others who were aware of concerns. It is understood that it is not the function of this inquiry to celebrate progress made, but to highlight and seek to eradicate deficiencies that remain. We submit, however, that it is only right and proper to pause, to recognise and appreciate the progress made in what were difficult circumstances at times, and at times very difficult circumstances, for the pioneers who made it happen. The likes of Eileen Shearer, Adrian Child at Nkotka CSAS staff, Jane Judalovich, Sister Raymunda Jordan, Father David Smilira, and Father Cuthbert Madden, all people who valued their work and shared their values, truly believing in the paramountcy principle and respecting the rights of our children. But the safety of our children should not just be left to a committed few. Inevitably, there comes a time when these few must move on. Following Nolan, appropriate safeguarding structures are already in place. They just need to be implemented. And that is where the problems that the inquiry has heard about have occurred. Up to now, matters have proceeded much on the basis of winning over hearts and minds. The acknowledgement that a carrot is preferable to a stick, because encouragement and support can take you where you want to be and keep you there. A stick means you fall back when the threat of the stick has gone. This is what is feared will happen now, unless that is prevented. If the seismic effect of the Nolan Commission, the Cumberledge Commission, the Downside Inquiry in 2010, a series of scandals and prosecutions cannot drive forward the changes required, then matters need to be taken out of their hands so they cannot slip back when the dust has settled, or take advantage of lax or inconsistent approaches by personnel who may come to occupy key positions in the future. We submit we have entered a new phase. The time for engaging hearts and minds has passed. A more structured response is now necessary. That can only be achieved by legislation. We submit that a system of registration, similar to the model applied to registered childminders in Schedule 7 to the Children and Young Persons Act 2001, appropriately modified, would have the following advantage. It will remove damaging personal conflicts between individuals from safeguarding clergy and lay professional. The provisions will be mandatory, imposed independently of the safeguarding body. There can be no lip service or failure to engage. It will remove the subjective assessment of risk by unqualified personnel. It will remove the risk of outdated policies or procedures being applied. It will remove the need for a preliminary inquiry following a decision by the police to NFA a matter, or following a court acquittal, and therefore remove the undesirability of the 68-week and continuing second phase investigation that we heard that Cuthbert Madden was subject to. It will remove the burden on CSAS of a time-consuming review of national policies and procedures and good practice. This can be obtained from the new statutory body or modified statutory body, thus allowing the more targeted use of resources. It will reduce the burden on CSAS of ensuring consistency in approach. It will remove the need for any test of suitability. It also has the further advantages that it will be universally applicable to many, if not all, institutions, whether religious, sporting, volunteer, or charitable groups. It will be self-funding by means of a levy. It will provide professional oversight of the value of, or otherwise, of any therapies or psychological assessments undertaken. It will ensure better collaboration locally in implementing mandatory steps necessary to achieve registration or maintain it. It will provide, in addition, for proper regard to health and safety regulations in ensuring the safety of the physical space, which, of course, should already be in place pursuant to different legislation. But most importantly of all, perhaps, it will provide a comprehensive support package to those in need as a fundamental part of the registration process. Without any determination of the status of the allegation, this will be funded by the levy, and we intend to make a recommendation that that would be a condition of registration, that they have a comprehensive support package. A successful safeguarding process needs all involved to engage with risk, with it. We need a system that is fair to all, and seen to be fair to all, to be a credible process, one that is open and transparent, and one with which everyone will engage, safe in the knowledge that complainants will be listened to and that each party will receive a fair hearing and a professional investigation. The recommendations, in the spirit of seeking to assist the panel in its important objectives, we will set out in writing suggestions which we hope the panel will regard as worthy of consideration as practical, achievable aims in seeking to make our children safer. It is likely to be a work in progress, but Elaine Shearer and Adrian Child are willing and engaged to assist in developing their thoughts on the way forward as the inquiry moves forward through other studies in which they are involved. Not necessarily a matter for this, but it perhaps echoes something that we perhaps need to say moving forward. Can we ask, in the interest of avoiding surprise, saving time and providing effective informed evidence to the panel, can we please seek a direction on behalf of the court participants we represent that by the 31st of May of next year, the inquiry disclosed to COPCA to us, COPCA and CSIS files, including archived records of the relevant organisations being investigated in November 2018, which we understand are Birmingham, Ealing and Westminster, together with any files of named individuals from that diocese. That will ensure, I know it's not a matter for now, but we will be inviting the lawyers to consider that, so that we can move forward and assist the panel in the best way we can in future hearings. Thank you very much, members of the panel.